Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 28th of May, 2021. I'm joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Scottish hate stickers. Apparently stickers are now symbols of hate on the Facebook leaks that have been coming out of whistleblowers. I love how there are so many whistleblowers from Facebook. It's sort of like, you know, is it me or them? Like when there's 50 of them are all saying, yeah, Facebook's evil. It's probably you, Mark.
There's going to be more whistleblowers than employees left at this point.
Yeah. And also, is Portland the cringiest place on earth, which I'm just looking forward to. Which yes. Just like to have some fun. So
I don't even need to see yes.
God, mate, you had no idea what you're in for. But okay. So before we do that, we just want to do some announcements. So the 1984 Book Club will be live today at 3 p.m. So go and check that out after the podcast. Me and Carl going over the 1984 story and the comparisons to Brave New World. And also because of the letters between them, going through the letters between Huxley and Orwell as well, which was quite interesting. But yeah, go and give that a watch. Anyway, it's premium, so you have to sign up to lotuseaters.com for that. Also, the Posey Parker interview will be going live at Sunday, 10 a.m. So Carl interviewed Posey Parker. We're putting a bunch of like clips out, and then there'll be the full interview on Sunday, 10 a.m. So go and check that out. And also, we have loads of other content. So first thing to mention was there's a new article from Hugo up there, which is on lockdowns as a religion and how to fight against them, coming out of all of the worship of them. Also, the Contemplations is going up on Saturday, and also the Waterloo review with Critical Drinker that Bo did, which was interesting. So the movie Waterloo.
That's going to be on Sunday, one. Yeah.
Yeah, which is also coming up. So loads of content on lotuseaters.com. Mm-hmm. You've got to go up and sign up to access it, £5 a month at the minimum, and that's how it keeps the show and the office and all of us around. So we hope we're doing our work.
There's something I'd like to add about the Contemplations as well. We've changed it now to just the Saturday, and we've made it an hour and a half rather than just hour-long episodes, and we're going to make it premium so we can do a lot more in-depth analysis on stuff.
Next weekend,
okay. So anyway, hate stickers.
Without further ado, let's get into the hate stickers. So this I got sent an email from the Free Speech Union because I'm signed up to them. I was reading through because I would, you know, they sent me a bunch of like, you know, did this happen, and this one just really stuck out because it was so stupid. Police Scotland face backlash after launching hate crime probe into women won't wished stickers. So this is a turf group who have decided to put up stickers that are just like women are women, and the Scottish police, that's not allowed. That's haram. I'm going to shut them down.
What do they even mean, women won't weeshed?
I don't even know. Like, I've been looking at it. I assume it's just, like, Scottish slang or something.
I would have thought I would have at least known what it meant.
Maybe Vicky can enlighten us to whatever the heck's going on there, but
What does weeshed mean, Vicky?
It's basically quiet,
silence. Silenced, okay.
So women won't be quiet, okay. We're Scottish slang, weird country. Anyway, so they're saying here, Police Scotland have faced a social media backlash after launching a hate crime probe into lamppost stickers from a women's rights group. Officers in Kildare tweeted an appeal after receiving a report over controversial signs. As you can see here, this is the tweet they put up here. On Monday, 17th of May, we received a report of controversial stickers having been placed on a lamppost within the View 4th Avenue area of Kildare.
Kildare.
I don't know how to say it. Should you come across stickers of this nature, please contact ourselves or at Fife Council so that their removal can be arranged. Stickers that say, women won't be quiet in Scottish slang there. That's it. That's the hate.
Is that really that controversial?
It's controversial. I love it. It's doing so much heavy lifting, isn't it? Like, if they just posted a picture of what was said, or if they just said, it says this, people laughed at them, but more people would laugh at them, because it's so pathetic. But you see it with, like, newspaper articles as well, and it's like, someone made a disgusting comment or an offensive comment. It's like, yeah, what was it? And they never show you it. Because when they do, it's obviously nothing. Absolutely nothing, burger. But anyway, this is fantastic. So they say that the appeal tweet has since been deleted from social media due to it being badly worded. Badly worded. No, I think the whole thing here is the problem. You're being mocked because of the laws you're enforcing here, which is that anything offensive to SJW morality is verboten and therefore needs to go. So they say in here that sharing the now-deleted tweet, SNP MP John Cherry QC said, "Also keeping an eye on this. Being controversial is not a crime, thankfully." Liar.
That came from the SNP.
SNP MP. Liar, liar, liar. I mean, you are the party that criminalised hate talk within your own home, if you remember. So if we go to the next link, this is them passing that law, the SNP law. I mean, this was Scottish members of parliament who proposed this. Hamza Yousaf being the most guilty of this abuse of human rights, passed it through, and now hate talk in your own home is banned in Scotland. You have no rights to do anything ever. I mean, not to mention, like, you guys are pulling... I mean, this was in a public area. So, I mean, it's not even like it's, you know, on the edges of S&P thinking. That's criminalized long ago, you know. And it's the Labour Party as well in England and, you know, the Democrats in the United States. Same thinking, which is just offensive speech in public has to be gone. Why? Because it offends SJW morals. But just the patheticness of being like, oh, being controversial is not a crime, thankfully.
It's amazing that...
Living in the 2009 or something like that.
People need to reframe this and just say, well, if you need the government to step in to protect your feelings, you're just weak. There's no... People aren't really that vulnerable to the point where if you say something to them, they're going to be like, I can't cope with this. This is the end of the world. You don't need government intervention. It's
women
so unnecessary. That almost sounds like some kind of like troll. Just like, yeah, women just can't stay quiet.
Like the women won't shut the F up group on Facebook. You know? Yeah, it does kind of sound like a troll. But your point's absolutely right, which is just if that's knocking you down, women won't be silent. What are you doing with your life?
You probably need therapy if that's upsetting you.
To the point that you're like, please help. Someone's posting stickers on lampposts. So if we go to the next link here, this is just to point out that progressive thinking within the Scottish Police have made the Scottish Police a long-running joke in the UK. This is just the latest of stupid things that they have done. The best, I didn't actually clip it, was probably the poster campaign they did of like, stop being a racist, stop being a transphobe, but we'll put you in jail. And they didn't define what any of it was. And of course, it's just saying that women are women. That's the problem. Anyway, but this is another one of their great ones. So Greater Glasgow Police here. Think before you post, or you may receive a visit from us on the weekend. Use the internet safely. Hashtag think before you post. And then like a graphic with like think. And then like, is it true? Is it hurtful? Is it illegal? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Whose business is it of yours? You're the police. Like the illegal part. Sure, it could be your business. The laws you're enforcing are completely unjust, but okay, whatever. But then is it true? Is it hurtful? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is that the purview of the police? To determine what truth is? To determine what's hateful? Sorry, hurtful, not even hateful. They're not even going into that sect territory. Is it necessary? As if this is a police discussion. And then is it kind? And if it's not, the police will turn up at your door.
Sorry, you've got an unkind tweet. I mean, that would be all of Twitter gone, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just Twitter, of course. The law applies to every domain,
yeah,
everywhere.
Course.
So presumably... Glasgow police are just ending their day by just smashing 4chan, being like, why is he not dead?
Just get rid of the internet. None of it would pass any of this.
Yeah. So the group responsible, if we can go to the next link, which is just them, Women for Scotland, they seem to have taken credit for these offensive stickers. I've seen some of their like retweets and whatnot. They seem perfectly like standard turfs. Just they believe women are women. Yeah. Big thing. So the things they say in here are also that they have not been given a date to which to be interviewed by the police. So the police seem to have S'd themselves and thought, actually, maybe we shouldn't persecute people for putting a sticker up that says women won't be silent, might look bad. But, I mean, if it's against the law, it's against the law. In which case, the problem here is the law, isn't it? But the S&P are never going to admit that. And then they also retweeted something I found hilarious, which is, I don't know how I missed this, because I did watch the interview. So if you go to the next one, this is LBC, Nick Ferrari interviewing Liz Truss, the Equalities Minister. And I just clipped like part of this interview because it's just amazing that this is what they've reduced us to. Let's go to the video and let's play this.
Is it fair to say that a woman has a vagina?
Women do have vaginas, Nick.
Like, that's British politics right there. Just do women have vaginas? Conservative Glad. Party answer, yes.
Glad we're solving the difficult questions.
I know the name of the radio show for foreigners is called Leading Britain's Conversation as well. Like, that's the forefront of British
cutting edge
form.
Stuff.
Do women have vaginas? Yes, they do. Right.
People have been asking this question for thousands of years, and finally we have an answer.
More news at 11. Oh, man. It's what's amazing as well is that's not even like a much shortened version of the clip. Like, he literally just says, do women have vaginas? Someone's been persecuted for this. She's like, yeah, women have vaginas. And it just ends.
She almost seems annoyed that she was asked.
I mean, I can imagine she was annoyed being asked, do women have vaginas? Yeah, probably. Anyway, this isn't the only one. The other thing I saw on this basis happened in Belgium a few days ago. And this is really disgusting, which is that four Belgian men have been sentenced to 6 months in prison for holding a banner that read, stop Islamization. So, the country's being Islamified. Please stop that. Criminal sentence if you dare hold up that poster that says that. Progress. much progress. So if we go to the article itself here, this is in Dutch. I had to just run it through Google Translate because I don't read swamp German. So. Actually, no, it's Belgium, isn't it? Yeah. Whatever, still swamp Germans. Swamp French?
There aren't any swamps in Belgium, are there?
I don't know. It's basically the same place. It's a fake country anyway. We invented it. You don't know about that? Like the fact that Belgium's basically a non-country, the Nigel Farage argument?
I haven't heard it.
But... Okay. So we made it out of thin air. It's just a buffer state between France and Germany. It has no real reason to exist, which is why you get such high rates of people identifying as Europeans in Belgium. And it's like, yeah, because you've got no actual identity to hold on to. Fight me.
I apologize to any Belgians listening or watching.
I love ethnic bands. Anyway, so in the article here, they say four members of radical right group Outpost convicted of incitement to hatred and violence because of banner Stop Islamization. A banner that's incitement to hatred and violence. Holding a banner that just says, please stop Islamization there. It's not even like we're going to, you know, there is no even reference to Muslims there. It's just Islamization. This is a real thing. This goes back to the time of Islam existing, the areas becoming more Islamified. I mean, all of North Africa wasn't Muslim at one point, if you have a knowledge more than 3 seconds, I suppose, of history. And they say in here, the criminal court of, going to butcher this, Mechlin, has convicted four members of radical right organization Voorpost for inciting hatred and violence during a demonstration in May last year. Quote, by carrying out such signs and banners, the defendants aim to sow fear and create hatred in society by convincing the spectators of the idea that in the future, Islam may dominate Flanders, the verdict read.
How does it incite violence as well?
It's just, right, they're saying that in the future, Islam will dominate Flanders. Yes. And therefore, they must go to jail. Why? Like, what happens in, I don't know, because I mean, you just look at the statistics. Like, Flanders hasn't been always like 10% Muslim for its existence. So, okay, if we continue the numbers and you get to 2100 and it's, you know, 50% Muslim or whatever year it would reach that if you run the standard, you know, growth that it's going on now, then what? I mean, then what does the judge say? That Islam still doesn't dominate Flanders? Like, what? I just can't get over how blatantly stupid it is. So he continues. They portray an imaginary danger whereby every woman, as a result of this so-called Islamization, as if Islamization isn't real, like Sinoization is, Anglicization is, Russification is, Islamization doesn't exist. I love that. Like, every other culture can be changed over time, but not Islamifying an area, that can't happen ever. Would oblige to wear a burqa or a niqab, or that every woman would have to wear a burqa or a niqab as a result. To nurture or stir hatred against the Muslim community so that they are encouraged to engage in similar hateful, fear-mongering behaviours themselves, the judge said.
Did they infer all of that just from the banner?
Presumably. There's nothing else there.
Just stop Islamization, and he's got all of this from... that.
Yeah, so if you throw it back up, I mean, the first image there is the banner itself. There's not really anything there. It's just, as you can see, stop Islamization. And then just people in burqas. I mean, no niqabs. I don't know where he's getting the niqabs from. I guess if this is a bit below, I can't see. But, I mean, most Muslim countries also ban the burqa because of good reason. It's disgusting. I mean, maybe because the group, I mean, I don't know anything about the group, but being in that group, if it's a crime, you charge them with that. Not holding a banner.
I'm guessing that perhaps he's inferring, based on the group that they're in, that these are the common kind of controversies that they get into, right?
Yeah, but then what?
I'm not, like, not defending the, I know, the judge's
just,
ruling.
It's just such
just
a poor
trying
argument.
To understand it. Yeah.
It's like, I believe you might be racist. Yeah, but we haven't done anything. Yeah, but you're still racist. Like, that's a real judge in a real court determining that these guys need to go to jail for what? Holding a banner that says stop Islamization. Amazing. So the there was a response to this. So the response coming from the Vlaams Belang party, sue me. I can't speak foreign languages. And this party is like the Flanders First Party or whatever. I think we actually had one of their members at a UKIP rally once. He seemed all right. So nothing bad to say about them. I certainly don't have anything bad to say about them in their response to this because they've been fantastic. They say, the criminal conviction of the four Voorpost activists is far beyond a miscarriage of justice. This is an attack on free speech, democracy, and the ability to wage opposition. To oppose Islamization is not incitement to hatred or violence. That is just freedom of speech. That is protecting what is dear to us, our identity, said the chairman of said party, Tom van Grieks. Based. Absolutely correct. I mean, I'm amazed that there's not more parties coming out in favor of these guys. I don't care what their beliefs are. I don't care what their organization has done. If you just hold a banner that says stop Islamization and then you are sent to jail for six months, it's unacceptable.
I think the inciting violence part is very interesting as well, because who's really going to be incited by just a banner saying stop Islamization? Unless, of course, they mean the reaction to the banner from the Muslim community, in which case that might be quite reasonable.
But that would be Islamophobic of the judge, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. It's funny that.
You're inciting violence. He's going to commit the violence. Muslim community. Oh, really now?
He's going to arrest himself.
That's a bit of hate speech. That's a great point. But just one of the things here, like the idea that stop Islamization is some kind of bad phrase because you're saying this thing is happening, we should stop it. I mean, to say that that's a criminal thing to say, you also have to implicitly say that Europe has always been the way it is now and has never changed. And therefore, whatever the party says must be true. If we just go to the next map here, I mean, this is just from Wikipedia, just listing, I think it was like the most up-to-date data on censuses of what percentage of each country have citizens who identify as Muslim. And as you can see there, you've got England, France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Austria, all at about the 5-10% mark, I think it's listed. It's always been that way.
So
back in the Middle Ages, it was 10%.
So Portugal and Ireland, then, just none.
Just none. Just in the category of zero. I love how you can see Eastern Europe there, just nada. And, yeah, how many Islamist terrorist attacks?
Also zero. None, yeah.
<That's> the...
They're not going to Iceland either, apparently.
For people who don't get that reference, there's an MP from Poland who I think is really funny, and he loves to give interviews in which he's just like, we will take zero refugees. And then the host will get really upset about this. And he's like, yeah, and as a result, zero terrorist attacks. I love my zeros. It's fantastic. Anyway, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's...
I know the one you're on about.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Just, people should go and Google just zero terrorist attacks, zero refugees, and you'll probably find it. But yeah, it just to say that saying that phrase should be a criminal phrase, and presumably the SNP will end up actually agreeing with this. I mean, these ladies who are being investigated by the police for saying women won't be silent, well, what if someone writes Islamization or stop Islamization in Scotland? I mean, if women won't be silent is enough to get you investigated by the police, stop Islamization, that's going to get you all the way to jail, just like it's done in the Netherlands. Sorry, in Belgium. See what I mean? Like, there's no real thing that associates me with Belgium.
So what the SNP are really saying is you can only put a sticker up if it says women should be silent. That's what the SNP have concluded.
Based. No.
The SNP has entrenched misogyny into their law.
The SNP were proud misogynists. Okay. So, but it's just the idea that you have to believe that nothing's changed. And if we just go to the next link here, I mean, this is just, I think it's Birmingham. So the next link is the Metro article. But it's the fact that in Birmingham, there's like this, what would you call it? Like a park, which is called Heath something. And it's now become like the largest area for people to go and gather and pray to Mecca. You know, as it's always been since the time of Edward I.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so this is the image here. It's like the largest gathering in all of Europe of Muslims who celebrate Eid by all gathering together and praying to Mecca. It's like, yeah, it's always been this way. Because Islamization isn't happening, is it? It's never happened. It's always been the same. And if you say stop it, then you're going to get sent to jail. It's pathetic. Anyway, but yeah, holding banners, stickers, all now hate talk. And therefore, banned. No, it's not Yavin Korda's Mickey. It's, I can't remember his name. The Polish MP.
It's going to bug me now as well.
Someone put it in the chat, because I know someone in the chat will know. It's not Corbyn Mikke, it's the guy from PiS, the Law and Justice Party in Poland. Anyway.
Never mind.
Don't worry, this is all getting covered on YouTube anyway.
So, do you want me to move on to the Facebook censorship leaks?
I kind of want the name, because it's going to bug me. I'm going to end up blurting it out in the middle of your segment. It'll make no sense. I think it's Christoph something. I don't know how you say it, but Tajaniki. I think that's how you say it. Anyway, yeah, he's got it. Dominik Tajinski. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. Go and Google his name. It's good videos.
So, back to the back to the Facebook Project Veritas leaks. So obviously, Facebook is huge, 2.9 billion users worldwide, according to them. And the constant infringements on freedom of speech are a huge problem that I'm sure most people are aware of that watch our stuff. And I'd like to just cut straight to this video from Project Veritas, who've been doing some excellent work and covering some of this stuff.
We have just obtained multiple leaked documents from inside Facebook, this time detailing a plan to curb, quote, vaccine hesitancy on a global scale It was so concerning, it brought us not one, but two whistleblowers from inside Facebook who are ready to speak out on what this means for free speech and public discourse on their own platform.
To do something. When it comes time to standing up for the world I want my children to live in, I don't want to leave them a world to where they don't have these liberties. Facebook uses classifiers in their algorithms to determine certain content to be what they call vaccine hesitant, or they call it vaccine hesitancy. Without the user's knowledge, they assign a score to these comments that's called the VH score, the vaccine hesitancy score. Then based on that score, we'll demote or leave the comment alone, depending on the content within the comment. So the main document, along with all the attachments and stuff that goes with it. So basically, when they write this algorithm, it goes through Facebook content, and it looks for certain keywords that are related to vaccination or, you know, not getting a vaccine and stuff like that. And it gives it a score, and the VH score means vaccine hesitancy, which is defined as being hesitant to get a vaccine, but not just like, well, I don't know, it's I saw a study that said that someone died that got the vaccine. That's vaccine hesitancy.
This is all a beta test.
Right.
And how big is this beta test?
They refer to the test size as 1.5%. I'm not exactly which pool that pulls from, but I think it's comments on authoritative health pages.
Why do we believe they've already rolled this out?
In one slideshow that they have, they call it their weekly progress tracker. Mm-hmm. They actually lay all this out in a chart, and you can see, you can look at the slides, they go by date. So we've got here, COVID-19 vac safety and efficacy, global. Currently global, 13 languages, Facebook plus Instagram. All C19 vaccine, global, currently global, 66 languages. And the very first thing that brought me to the conclusion that they wanted to do this globally is they were developing it in, like, you know, as many languages as they could get their hands on.
So this is like a product launch almost.
Yeah. In their last quarterly report, they reported 2.79 billion people on Earth use some kind of Facebook app.
So, pretty scary stuff, isn't it?
I just see the chat being like, did Venom voice this?
Yes.
I know they're going to hide his identity.
I did think that as well. It's really kind of sinister sounding. Almost makes you want to trust him less just because how scary it sounds. But no, this first guy actually came out and revealed his identity later on. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. So we actually have the documents that Facebook uses to judge these kinds of posts. And these guidelines are for when an algorithm kind of looks at something and it can't come to a decision, and then it forwards on to a human moderator, and these are the guidelines for the human moderator. So this is the vaccine hesitancy tier list, and tier one is alarmism and criticism, and section A of this is sensational or alarmist vaccine content suggesting that vaccines are unsafe, ineffective, sacrilegious, irrelevant, in exaggerated, conspiratorial, or sensational terms. Sacrilegious, I think, that word is even more alarming because it's implying that it's some kind of religion that people are going against, and they're kind of acknowledging that.
Hang on, because there really are philosophical concerns with things like this. Mm-hmm. Like, there are certain kinds of drugs that people won't take because they've got animal products inside them, for example, mm-hmm. and therefore it, you know, bumps up against their beliefs and they won't do it. And that's their right. And it's the same with people who, like, in case something uses stem cells, and then you get Christians who don't believe.
So that's what it actually means. Yeah.
Them saying that if I object on that basis, that comment's going to get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, that really runs up against some really not kosher stuff there.
Yeah, and that's not even the worst of it yet. They say that criticizing choice to receive or provide vaccine, disparaging others on the basis of their choice to vaccinate or in their choice to vaccinate others. And they say that the enforcement principle for this first tier is that this content could present a barrier to vaccination in many contexts. And that's what they seem to be wanting to push on Facebook. They're saying, we want people to be vaccinated. And if anyone questions that, then you're going to have kind of consequences on Facebook. And I'll get onto what that might be in a second. So the second tier is indirect vaccine discouragement, and the kind of C So it's A, B, C, D, the four different kind of subcategories. Promoting vaccine refusals and alternatives, implicitly discouraging, not even explicitly, so just indirectly discouraging vaccination by advocating for alternatives or celebrating those who refuse vaccination. And D, shocking stories, potentially or actually true events or facts that raise safety concerns, indicated by sharing personal anecdotes or news events of severe adverse in hyperbolic terms or without context. So if you simply just say, okay, I've had a really bad reaction after taking the vaccine, or I know someone who had a really bad reaction, then that is not allowed. And that could actually end up with your comment or post being suppressed, which means that it's going to be kind of shadow banned almost. No one's going to be able to see it, but it's just going to go by the wayside as if no one actually looked at it. And you're not going to be aware of this. They're not going to tell you that they've done this, but they will do this behind the scenes for anything that violates this second tier. The first tier, it's kind of generally okay. So they're allowing some degree of criticism maybe, but it's still kind of close to indirect vaccine discouragement, say. You could say, well, I've posted a study here that suggests that maybe there are some adverse effects that people need to be aware of, and that could be perceived as indirect vaccine discouragement. And then they're going to say, well, actually, this comment's going to be suppressed and no one's going to be able to see it. So it's stifling any free discussion about this issue, and they're just pushing this one narrative at the expense of people coming to rational decisions based on the information available, which I don't think is particularly good for free speech or anyone, really.
No, that's really evil. I mean, your example there of saying, like, I've got someone I know who's had a bad reaction to it. I mean, like, you know, I know someone who's had a bad reaction to it. Is that enough? Like,
provably, that would be enough, yeah.
Provably, factually, they've sent a message to the government reporting mm-hmm. system saying, this happened to me, because the government wants to know what mm-hmm. percentage, you know, people have bad reactions or not. But even if you say something that is factually true, mm-hmm. objectively true, that's still not allowed according to
they say it right here in their tier two, and they actually say in their enforcement principle, this could cause a barrier to vaccination in certain contexts, and your comment could be suppressed. So it's,
I mean, everyone warned them. Everyone warned. If you allow them to annex to themselves the power of deciding what is true and what is not true, they'll start censoring the truth.
Yeah, even if you have like evidence, if it discourages people from being vaccinated, or at least they perceive it to be discouraging people, then that's enough for it to be suppressed, which is just terrible.
I think I should state my opinion here just in case some idiot at YouTube's watching or whatever, right? Like, I think the vaccine works, it's done its job, all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But to say that no one can ever have a bad reaction to it and tell someone about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people who have, and then therefore, what, that information that is objectively true is mm-hmm. verboten.
Yeah, the reason I'm bringing this up, it's a free speech thing in my view. It's stifling free discussion.
To say 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, yeah. It really is that basic. This thing has happened. It, you know, I can give you the pictures, I can give you the reports, all the rest of it. Doesn't matter. Still banned.
It's awful. So I'm going to read some quotes from some of the people who spoke to Project Veritas, just giving some greater detail. So the first one was this data center technician who we heard from in the video there, and he says, they are trying to control the content before it even makes it onto your page, and you can see it. The policy will keep on expanding until anything can violate it. What would happen if this is scaled larger and scaled to Twitter and the internet as a whole is way worse than anything that could happen from me getting fired from my job. So that's him providing his rationale for blowing the whistle, as well as saying that it looks like they're looking to expand this further and to other areas as well. And there was the second whistleblower that came out about this was a data center facility engineer at Facebook. And he says, it's kind of like having an abusive partner, not allowing their spouse to speak out about the things that are going on in their marriage or their relationship and limiting their voice. It's very damaging from that sense. It's very incriminating. We're able to have these conversations at work with our coworkers about our medical decisions. And we do. We have them frequently. Why is it okay for us to have these conversations at work as adults and not have somebody step in and say, hey, you need to stop talking about that? So he's actually saying that at Facebook, at their like workplace, they're able to have these conversations that other people are having about their decisions, and they're not stepping in. But when it's actually on the internet, if they posted it to Facebook, say, then it might come with some form of punishment.
Yeah, I mean, big mother Facebook's going to come here and sort out the kids who are having wrong think ideas.
Yeah.
But in IRL, they know that this is stupid. Although, I mean, don't give them any ideas, because I can imagine that happening at his workplace after this. They're going to start appointing, you know, hall monitors or something who check your thinking
well,
in the workroom.
They've already figured out who one of the leakers was, and he's been suspended. So his name, he's actually come out now and just owned what he said. His name is Morgan Carmen, and good on him for actually standing by what he said after he'd been put on suspension. As he did say, you know, it's more important than me losing my job. So good for him for sticking by his principles. I mean, people like him are very important for a free and democratic society. But he says, after being suspended, he says, what happened was I was at work and I got a message from my supervisor out of the blue, basically saying, go ahead and wrap up your area, clean up your stuff, gather your personal belongings and meet me in the meeting room in the lobby of the building. They're basically going to have me meet with an investigative team and grill me on this whole situation. So that's him speaking to Project Veritas originally. And Veritas actually states about this, Carmen was able to secure additional internal Facebook documents before his suspension that confirms the vaccine hesitancy algorithm is live and being implemented globally across Facebook and Instagram's platforms. So he was able to actually get documents confirming that it is active now. It's not just in the planning phase and they are using it currently.
Did it say who he works for? Does he work for Cognizant or does he work for Facebook themselves?
I think he works for Facebook themselves, but okay. I'm not certain about that. So I haven't actually heard of the former.
So I've mentioned Cognizant because we did an interview with Ryan Hartwig, I've mentioned before, who worked with Cognizant. And Cognizant was just a company that has a contract with Facebook to do the content moderation. So it wasn't direct linked to Facebook, but it was Facebook would give them their details and say, these are our specifications for moderation. Mm-hmm. And then Cognizant would implement them. So I wonder how much insight he's getting on there. Because the people at Facebook HQ, if he's there, being able to show us primary documentation of this is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to emphasize how good it is that he actually came out, he says about his suspension and the potential of losing his job is saying, I think that the main reason why people don't want to come out as whistleblowers is because what if, you know, I have two kids, I have a wife and I lose my job. It's like, what do I do? But that's less of a concern to me.
Yeah.
He's living by his principles, so well done.
Hats off to all of these people. I mean, this is why people like Ryan Hartwig are absolute heroes. Mm-hmm. I mean, these whistleblowers who will just tell you what is going on. I mean, in Ryan's case, it was showing that, you know, British Voldemort is on the same list as Adolf Hitler. Well, I don't know if I can say
which
one
is ridiculous,
thing, but not
yeah.
the other, which is a weird irony. But.
So I'd like to move on to something that's a bit more amusing. So Nick Clegg, former Deputy Prime Minister in the UK, is now Vice President of Global Affairs at Facebook.
So he's an international snake now.
Yeah, and he said something that was very stupid considering the Veritas leaks. He's saying that he wants to advocate and promote values, and he says in particular that American values such as free expression are things that Facebook need to support. I mean, just take a second to actually compute that he said this after what they were doing. Like,
I mean, just open liar. I mean, he lied yeah. when he was Vice Prime Minister over here. Endlessly, he lied when he was Lib Dem leader. And now working at Facebook, habit of a lifetime, I guess.
It seems like it. He says that the US risks to becoming a nation that exports incredible technologies but fails to export its values. That's so rich. Like,
you do plenty of exporting your values. Just San Francisco values.
He says, this is a pivotal moment as policymakers begin drafting laws. It's incredibly clear that there are contrasting visions of what the internet should be. The open, accessible and global internet we use today has been shaped by American companies and American values like free expression, transparency, accountability and the encouragement of innovation and entrepreneurship. But these values can't be taken for granted. Yeah, because of people like you, Nick.
God, I love it. Like, he thinks the debate is between China and like the authoritarian Facebook. And it's like, No. You guys look exactly the same. I know you think there's a wider part.
Spot the difference between these two pictures.
Yeah, like, there's this whole world of freedom over here who people think that we shouldn't just decide what the truth is by some private company. Mm. And we shouldn't just answer people outright because they say things that are objectively true or even just offend your feelings.
It's funny you mention China because he actually goes on to mention how the Chinese government's approach
yeah,
is...
Yeah, he actually does, doesn't he?
He does,
it's Facebook versus China. That's the divide. It's like, no.
So he says, the Chinese internet model, segregated from the wider internet and subject to extensive surveillance, is not something that he likes, apparently, but is also doing at Facebook.
I prefer it when a private company does it.
So yeah, he also cites that Turkey, Vietnam and Russia are taking steps in a similar direction, which, to be fair, they are. But it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black there, yeah. A little bit. It's like, really? Are we going to hear this from you? So Facebook's policy on hate speech is obviously a perfect example of how it is just a load of rubbish, what he's talking about. So they say, we evaluate the effectiveness of our enforcement by trying to keep the prevalence of hate speech on our platforms as low as possible while minimizing mistakes in the content that we removed. The improvement in prevalence on Facebook is due to changes we made to reduce problematic content in the news feed. So yeah, and they go on to say, advancements in AI technology have allowed us to remove more hate speech from Facebook over time and find more of it before users report it to us. When we first began reporting our metrics of hate speech in quarter four of 2017, our proactive detection rate was 23.6%. This means that our hate speech was removed. 23.6% of it was found before a user reported to reported it to us. The remaining majority of it was removed after the users reported it. Today, we proactively detect about 97% of hate speech content we remove.
Hate speech. I mean, as the chat is correctly pointing out, that doesn't exist. It makes no sense. It defines whatever you want it to mean. Hate can be entirely, well, hate is entirely subjective, and therefore hate speech is entirely what you think is hate speech.
I mean, Facebook is directly contradicting what Nick Clegg is saying here as well.
Yeah. I love how they're proud of it as well. Like, that's a statistic they throw out and be like, look, we're getting rid of all the speech you don't like. Yeah, you shouldn't be proud of that. You should be deeply ashamed that that's what you're doing.
But yeah, I thought this was really important to actually bring up because it's so appalling and it's just going on without many people really knowing about it. And I mean, 2.9 billion people on Earth is huge. And if they're trying to shape what these people are thinking, like globally with this is massive and
I mean, what's that,
needs more attention.
Planets thinking though?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. I know a lot of people say, it's a private company, whatever. Okay, we can replace it with another company and blah, 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 blah. But when you're looking at like YouTube's a better example because it's about a third of the planet uses YouTube on a daily basis. And okay, that's never been seen before in the history of anything ever. Like you've never been able to speak to a third of the planet for the price of an internet connection. And being blocked from being able to do that while your opponents are able to, that's huge. And if it's on the basis of you stating an objective fact, I don't know what to say. It's so unbelievable. I don't know why you would not agree that the government, if it has any rights, sorry, any roles to play in society, it is enforcing your rights to free speech, and in this case, protecting a right to be able to state facts, whereas your opponents who will state non-facts are able to go ahead because Facebook agrees with them.
This is like a perfect example of where the hardcore libertarians are like, well, it's a private company, it can do what it wants. Not helpful.
Yeah,
you need someone to intervene here to protect this because if you leave them to their own devices, it's only going to get worse.
God, that's awful. That's you and your black pills.
Well, it's important stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway, so the last thing, hopefully, be more of a white pill because it's just kind of stupid and funny. Because it's Friday, I want to have fun.
Sorry then.
No, that's
my daily dose of black pill from me. But
so the thing here is just the cringiest cringe thing I've ever seen, and I wanted to share it just because it's funny. So this is the tweet here that I saw from MythInformed, who are good guys, and they posted this this clip here of an 8th grade Portlander or teacher has a message for her fellow teachers. Teachers that do not teach anti-racism are abusing children. Either start teaching anti-racism or the district will fire you.
It should be the complete opposite.
But it's just, that's the future of the United States, especially under Joe Biden. He's not going to stop this stuff. I mean, you remember Trump and all the Republicans and all the state legislators trying to ban critical race theory from being taught in schools in the same way you would ban Nazism. I mean, it's not an abridgment of free speech here. Like, we're literally just trying to say no extremism within the schools. Like, please don't teach the kids about raising their racial consciousness if you can help it. I mean, that's what these people talk about all the time. And so, no, it's going to continue on this brain. And if you don't comply, you will be fired. That's how they're going to go about this. So I found the full Zoom call that Mythis linked below, and I went through it. I'm not going to play the whole thing or huge check sections of it because it melts your brain listening to these people. But I just clipped out some of the cringiest stuff, and we're going to enjoy because why not?
Oh,
so, so the people in here, just because I've clipped what they said they were, so there's teachers of basically every grade within this school district. There is an assistant to the principal. There are loads of people who are from HR who presumably have mental illnesses, because how else do you get these jobs? And they're discussing anti-racism, of course, not, you know, not being racist, because that's never enough. Instead, you need to be anti-racist, which is just being racist. It's critical race theory. It's left-wing racism. And they say in here how they're going to advance it throughout the school system. And they start the conversation with good old-fashioned pronouns. So they went around the room, like a hippie commune or something, and being like, can you please tell me your pronouns and how you work here? I'm not joking. Let's play.
Let's get us started. I will ask you to introduce yourself. So I'm going to name you. And once I name you, please state your pronouns and the position you have in Beaverton School District, all right?
My pronouns are he, him.
My pronouns are she, her.
My pronouns are she, her, hers.
My pronouns are he, him, and his.
And my pronouns are ella, she, her, hers.
My pronouns are she, her, hers.
And I use she and they pronouns.
And I use she, her, hers pronouns.
I go by a noun, queen, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My pronouns are she, her, hers. Ella.
My pronouns are she, her, we, and us.
My pronouns, she, her, hers.
How are they going to remember all of that?
No one does, who cares? But it's, as you can see by the black lady there who went, my pronouns queen, you know, joking about it, and then fall back in with the ideology, she, her. It's not actually important. That's the interesting thing. It's just a dog whistle. It's just to say, yeah, I'll comply. That's why you see it in the descriptions on Twitter and online profiles and whatnot. You know, here's my pronouns. Not because anyone cares. Not because your pronouns are of really, really interest or anything. It's to just show, yeah, I'm also a comrade. I'm part of the Marxist revolution.
I'm an ally.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that
ally
term.
I mean, you love how it's military terminology. There's a reason for that.
It's so cringeworthy.
Because they're fighting a culture war, and they know it. And they're not here just to bring tolerance and love and all the rest of it. It's so cringy. It's great. But there's the people in here, who's white and who's not? Just a glance. Can you tell? No. Some people are white who are not white, and not white who are white, according to this lot. So welcome Schrodinger's white guy. Let's play this.
I identify myself as a white passing male,
passing
Latino. And so I think about, you know, what does that mean for me as a white guy? What does it mean for me as a Latino? And, I've heard a lot of racist jokes, you know, told to me about Mexicans, and people just don't know that I'm Mexican. But then also I'm a white guy that, you know, I, when I walk into a space often, I'm assumed to be a white guy. So I get a lot of privilege that way.
I love it. It's just like, sometimes I'm white when I'm being oppressed, but then I'm when I'm getting privileged, but then I'm not white when people are telling jokes around me. I love how it had no real impact on his life whatsoever either. It's like, people sell jokes about, you know, Mexicans. Oh, I know.
Would it really be bad to say a joke about Mexicans to a Mexican anyway, as long as it's not awful?
Well, it can only be from a Mexican, can't it? That's the theory. It's like, you know, wokus, only black people can tell jokes about black people, only Jews can tell jokes about Jews, all the rest of it. Stay
How
in your
boring.
Lane. Stay in your race. I mean, that's their theory. You know, that's what they're saying. I mean, we're the same with the cultural appropriation. Like, you can't mix races. You must stay in your own racial group.
Stick to your own. It's like out of the mouth of the
Klan.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason for that, because they follow the same ideological fundamentals. I mean, one of the funniest things, I mentioned this to Carl, I really should have got it up. There's a mate of mine who, he has a problem with his socks, right? You know, everyone's got his socks, and his socks are all black, and his wife's socks are all black, and he's like, oh, okay. So the reason he got into that, he brought some socks, he brought them all that were black, and then his wife thought, that's a really good idea, I'll do the same, except she brought all black socks of the same size, sorry, same style, that are one size smaller, so none of them fit. I was like, great, thanks. So then he went on he wanted to find some, like, weird socks, so it would just, you know, you always know they're his. And he found some, I think it was Ghanaian shop, for socks, and it's like African patterns and whatnot, so they're definitely not going to get mixed up. And he's brought tons of them. And I love in the description of this Ghanaian shop that they just have, you know, commonly asked questions. And one of them is it cultural appropriation if I wear these socks? And the response from the Africans was, you must be American. No one else asked this.
Did they actually say that?
Yeah, I'll send you that after. It's so cool. It's like, literally, no one gives a toss. It's just leftist Americans who ever ask this question. Wear the bloody socks.
I don't even see the cultural appropriation argument, because surely it's a compliment. If someone started going around, like, wearing English jumpers that wasn't from England, then I'd be like, good on you, well done, thank you.
Yeah, civilized. Simple as. But anyway, sorry, tangent. But yeah, Schrodinger's white guy there. He's sometimes white, sometimes not. Presumably it goes for the rest of them. But the next video here is someone explaining that their movement is being stopped. Being stopped by who? The evil white man. What's he doing? He's stopping you because he applies equal treatment laws. And therefore, we're not able to advance anti-racism.
How evil.
Yeah, let's play.
Well, if I can kind of bounce on what Marcella had said as well, is just the disorienting work of this when you are starting to embark on anti-racist education and then you're trying to do it, but then it goes against everything that we were taught as teachers in the college, everything that we've been told to do as best practices. And so you're going to be doing all this anti-racism research and you're going to want to start implementing it, but the very structure of our school is going to be like, nah, you can't. And so it's up to us also to make sure that we are holding our admin accountable and saying, no, remember, we're doing this work. Yeah, I can't do this assessment for this child right now because we're actually having to do this hard human work right now. We have to decolonize our classrooms. How far that goes, who knows? But we're really going to start having some disorientation because we're having this new information that doesn't correlate with what our reality has been.
Amazing.
Makes it all the more sinister, the fact that she's dressed as a Disney villain.
Yeah, I love how she doesn't look black at all either. So I'm sure that's cultural appropriation there. Like if she says she's black, not oppressed enough. Anyway, but she says in there that we are being stopped from implementing anti-racism because it goes against the teaching we had. The teaching of equal treatment. You can only treat the kids as equals, not along racial lines. And that's the problem with advancing anti-racism, is the system will stop you.
So-called anti-racism.
Yeah, it's pathetic. But also, she says in there that our data doesn't line up with the reality. Well, you would have thought that'd be a hint. Well, you know, maybe I ought to stop here. You know, the reality is a class traitor, though. It's always the cry of them. But also, I don't know who in chat pointed this out, but yeah, the interpreter there, interpreter Kevin, doing his finger pointing. And
I was watching him more than I was looking at her.
Who's he interpreting for? No one there seemed to be deaf.
It's so, practice.
It's just for fun. Anyway, so the next one here is her warning that you must become an anti-racist or you will be fired. Let's play.
I'm going to say something that's not nice and not sweet, but it's true. If you're not evolving into an anti-racist educator, you're making yourself obsolete in this field of profession. Our district is only getting browner and browner with our children. And so if, you know, obviously you can't change your melanin, all right? But you can change your mind so that you can actually function in a district that is full of BIPOC children. So if you're being resistant, I understand that, but you're gonna have to eventually come to the light, because if you're going to keep with those old views of colonialism, it's going to lead to being fired, because you're going to be doing damage to our children, trauma. And so as we fire the teachers who sexually abuse our children, we will be firing the teachers who do racist things to our children, traumatize them. And while our district might not be completely on there, OEA is working on it, all right? NEA is working on it. And so it's just a matter of time. So it's like you either evolve or dissolve. You've got to start walking with us.
I mean, just threatening everyone in the room. Yeah. Like, if you don't buy on, you're all going to be fired. I love how they all nod like lemon.
Yeah, that annoyed me so much. They were just like, yes, don't fire me, please.
Pathetic. But her argument there, you need to get used to it because the district is getting browner and browner. Well, what? So she says you can't function in an area with so many BIPOC children if you're not on board with Marxist nonsense. If you're around brown people, you can only function if you have Marxist views, if you have liberal views of equal treatment and all the rest of it. Then I don't know, brown people just can't deal with that. It's really racist thinking, where it's like, if you're around brown people, they can only stand Marxists, they can never stand liberals or conservatives. They'll just, I don't know, start attacking you or something. I mean, good God, but whatever.
It's not even like a race thing. I mean, Marx being a German white man.
Yeah, so let's ask Marx's views on people with brown skin. Something we're not going to be able to say here.
Absolutely. Anyway,
but she says that it's also child trauma if you're teaching children the liberal standard of equal treatment. But if you're doing the anti-racist standard of equity, then that's not trauma.
I was educated under the equal treatment thing. I'm not traumatized.
Yes, but every brown student in your class was.
Oh, so, right.
There we go.
I didn't think of that. Well, I grew up in Devon, so there weren't any.
Oh, all right. Well, absolute loons. Like, a bunch of absolute lunatics. And if you don't buy on board, you're going to get fired. That's just how things are going to go. But the other cringe out of this that I thought was amazing was, so they go through this, and it's mind-numbing of them just circle-jerking about how, you know, their worldview the best. They literally end it with closing prayers.
Closing prayers.
Yeah, they have like little prayers here about, I don't know, labor recognition, they call it. So this is their prayer to labor recognition. Let's play.
We're going to end with a labor recognition. We pay homage to those stolen from Africa, placed in chattel bondage, forced into labor, and called slaves. They never submitted to this oppression, and have always fought together with an unbroken connection to the divine and to each other. We honor our African ancestors for their forced and unpaid labor that built much of the Americas. To all our indigenous, Asian, and African forebears, we commit to the continued struggle for liberation and reparations. For it is through this and justice that we truly give honor. Ashe.
What on earth is that?
What a bunch of cringe. Also saying in there that, like, we give honor to our African ancestors and whatnot. I love how just ignorant she is. Like, the whole, we've covered this a million times, but the black people who were brought to the United States as slaves were not captured in nets or something, as Roots tries to make people think. No, the white man, the Europeans, the English, turned up to the coast there and paid money to black kings of Africa who sold them black slaves. This is not some racial divide thing here. No, it was literally on the basis of, yes, whites, white and blacks in the United States, but we literally brought them from black kings. The king of Dahomey, for example. I mean, the guy who said that he would do anything the British asked except to give up slavery.
Did you say kings of Dahomey's?
King of Dahomey.
Oh, right.
Right. Kings of Dahomey. Oh, for God's sake. But the king of Dahomey is real. So anyway, so there's that, which, oh, gooey. And then that wasn't the final end, though. After they'd said their prayers and, I don't know, all taken a shot, they decided to do closing dancing. So they put on a bunch of music and then started dancing on the Zoom call.
Oh, no.
And it's really cringe. So I've got to play it. So let's play.
I might have to avert my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'm calling on the whole wide world.
Adam, keep us going with the music here. We want to feel every minute, every fiber of our skin, our nice skin tone and everything.
Is this just a cult at this point?
Yes. Always was.
Oh my God, let's do it.
This goes on for 10 minutes. I've cut it down.
10 minutes of this.
Thank you. How are you feeling, yo? This is like...
What is she taking before this Zoom call?
Oh, God. Like, I've seen people posting that clip of her calling for everyone who doesn't agree to be fired, as if, like, that's, you know, and it's obviously the most important part. And then people have been posting other bits. I just see no one posting all the cringe out of there. Like, good God. If you go through the whole Zoom call, there's loads of it.
This is the best way to inoculate people against it.
Just show, like, them. Just show them what
this
they
is
do.
This is what your mind on woke looks like.
Yeah.
You're willing to dance to music in a Zoom call while sat down.
For 10 minutes. Oh, God. Anyway, so here's a Washington Post article that was sort of talking about this. New administration, new crisis over what kids are being taught here. And then you've got some pictures of conservatives there saying, say no to critical race theory. And hate Latinos against critical race theory. Good guys. So it says in here that the author says, we've known for a while that most conservative Americans are also more likely to believe that white Americans face discrimination, even that whites are more likely to face discrimination than non-white groups. This belief was common among Trump supporters in particular. A 2019 YouGov poll found that Trump supporters are more likely to say that white people face discrimination more so than black people do. So a formal education curriculum that includes an emphasis on the role of anti-black racism in American society would inevitably be particularly grating. No. I mean, for starters, this is not just an emphasis on anti-black racism in society. I mean, this is Marxist subversion of history to the point where you're just teaching absolute nonsense. And the fundamental problem with this is not just, oh, Trump supporters think they're being discriminated against more than black people. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the real problem here is that for the conservatives, their students and their kids here. Remember, I mean, no fool would let their enemy teach their children. It's the fact that they're not being treated like individuals. The fact that they're being treated like just their group characteristic of white or black. Their racial group is all that matters to these people. And that's what critical race theory teaches. And that is what you have the conservatives there saying, say no to critical race theory, which is why it's so absurd when you see teachers in Portland there saying that we're going to push this through in every realm possible. I mean, if you're in Portland and you've got kids being taught in Portland, I'd say leave. Because, I mean,
flee Portland in general.
Like the whole thing's a lost cause. You should just let it go. I mean, Andy Ngo has for good reason. So there's that. But also, just if that ever comes to your school, I mean, it just has to be shut down. There is no debate. I mean, besides the part that there are a bunch of goddamn cringe lords, but just the evil things they're teaching that need to be opposed to every avenue, which is why the Republicans opposing it has been fantastic. I wish the conservatives here would get on board with the fact that essentially left-wing Nazism isn't preferential to liberal teaching, but whatever. Anyway, so the last thing here I just want to mention, so you mentioned that, the guy mentioned in there that Trump supporters feel like whites are being persecuted as much as black people in the United States. I don't know about the United States too much, but I know in Britain that's not only true, it's further than that. White people in this country are discriminated against more than black people in this country. With the prime example, and I'm just going to use this one, but there are loads of these, as we've listed on lotuses.com. This is the summer diversity internship with the civil service, in which non-white applicants are treated more favorably than white applicants, as listed in the criteria for applying. If you are a rich black guy, you can apply. If you are a rich white guy, you can't apply.
Isn't this Why? Illegal under our own laws?
Should be.
I'm pretty sure this is...
But I think there's a loophole in the Equality Act that legalizes this, which, thanks, great. Tony Blair. Like, that's that. And it's ridiculous to suggest that this isn't what's taking place in the UK. So, yeah, white people in the UK, at least, are being treated less favorably than black people across the board. I mean, not just by private companies on occasion, but also the government. I mean, this is the civil service. We've had the BBC do this, got trouble for it. There are loads of others that we've listed. And it's ridiculous to say the opposite. Because it just isn't happening. And if it did happen the opposite, there'd be immediate outrage and the thing would be fixed by tomorrow. And but to end on some good news, just because I think it's funny, the next link here. So this is news that Philip Davies is going to be on the Equality Champions. He's going to be on the Equalities Committee there. So the Equalities Committee is the wokest committee. The whole thing shouldn't exist. The whole department shouldn't exist. Again, thanks, Tony Blair. But I love this. So if you don't know who Philip Davies is, he's an absolute mad lad. You know, the guy who would always go after the feminists. I don't know if you've ever seen the like based clips of him.
I probably have, but I just don't remember.
It's fantastic. Just type in Philip Davies based and you'll get some good stuff. Philip Davies versus feminist. I mean, one of the amazing things, last time he was on the committee for it, he tried to get the word woman removed from the Women's Equalities Committee on the basis of feminism. If we're going to be treated equally, why is there a focus on women? Why not a focus on the fact of just gender or sex or something like that, right? And what are you going to say? He's wrong?
Is he just trolling them? Is that exactly what he's doing? Just like, yeah, we're going to use up your own rhetoric against you to wind you up.
Half the time, yes, and it's beautiful. The other half the time, he's making very good points. He's using the trolling to make those good points, obviously. Like when he had his sparring with Jess Phillips, and Jess Phillips saying there should be no, men's day to discuss men's issues. And he was like, well, that's nonsense. We have one for women's issues, blah, 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 blah. He eventually did get it. Jess Phillips didn't turn up. And he gave his arguments about things that the UK government needs to focus on. And no one in the Labour Party had anything to say against him because he's just right. But glad to see he's back there. We can expect more trolling from him on the committee.
I look forward to it.
Anyway, there's a little bit of white pills I thought there. But otherwise, cringe lords. God. Let's go to the video comments.
The reason why I bring this up is personally for me, I find it interesting just the way it's a case of just prioritising having like right foot forward when wielding a sword with two hands, versus having left foot forward when it's a pole arm. I know this isn't a pole arm, it's just easier for demonstration purposes. But I'm the weird person, and everyone sort of says, don't do that, Harry, at martial arts, whereas I have my left hand forward, and it's not because I'm left-handed, but because then I can just sort of let go. What I meant to finish that with is let go and then improvise going in for a grab or a punch or whatever, because consider it a bit unorthodox, but I love modern martial arts, but improvised weapons are a thing, which that should be done in training. Sorry, I'm not going to change my position on that, but I hope you guys found this interesting at least. Just a bit unorthodox of a style though when it comes to using weapons or improvised weapons in the modern day, but hope you found it fun.
I know that in martial arts, if the more unorthodox it is, it means that people are more unprepared to face it, so it's actually probably better to be unorthodox if you're really seeking to be good at something.
I don't do martial arts, so I don't really have anything to say.
Nor do I, as you can probably imagine. But
you'd get at boxing. Anyway, it's the first one.
It's beginning to sound like the Callum fate has picked the champion. But Callum, you really want me to fight a legitimate red-headed Viking over your right to eat bread at work?
No, you're the one fighting for oppression.
I think Carl needs to pick his own champion, though.
Like, no, you're not fighting for my right to eat bread. You're fighting for oppression here. You're the one calling for censorship of dietary requirements. TF Allspark, he's the freedom fighter over there fighting for the right to eat bread, unmolested. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Free bread.
Free bread.
Hello. Was y'all's decision to purple in any way influenced by the fact that it is the sneakiest color? And if it was, who are y'all hiding from?
Okay, come on. We can't talk about we got to talk about the gun here. I mean, look at that.
I don't know what's going on there.
I couldn't get the name wrong. Is it the magazine there?
It's just jammed with bullets.
It's like orc style bullet. Oh, I get it now. I think he's trying to show us guns if they were orc guns. So like yesterday, it was a revolver with a grenade launcher on the side. Mm-hmm. I mean, an orc would definitely make that. Just slam it together and be like, that'll do. And then this one is just like more bullets, more gun. So he's got
you
a
just
big
hold it upside down. You got the grip on the side there with a bit of
dagger, 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 dagger. You know, I can see it now. That makes point. Yeah. Although still nothing gets over. We must show one day the Colombian gun that was taken in a drug raid. The advice.
I think I know the one you're on about.
God. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
I'd like to propose an alternative to the slogan Black Lives Matter. I don't like the All Lives Matter response. It's playing into the collectivist mentality of the communists we're dealing with. Instead, I think that we should say in response, your life matters.
That's very wholesome. I preferred the more nihilistic response of no lives matter. Just to wind people up. But that's a good point.
I saw that Carl, he was using each life matters to make it individualized because mm-hmm. it's the collectivist framing of white and black, you know, on the racial lines that is obviously objectionable. It's not about racial groups. It's about the individual here. But the other point I saw, I don't really have much to say on that point, but the other point I saw is that something American conservative politicians seem to have grasped and British conservative politicians haven't in the slightest, which is just don't call them Black Lives Matter ever. Because that just gives them a victory that they don't deserve.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a fair point.
You need to call them BLM. Every single time. Don't waste your time with the whole thing. Just say BLM think this, BLM think that. Because that is what they are. And it means that you can get them on the point that, no, you're an organization, because you are. You're a movement, because you are. And you have specific things that you want and you're demanding. I mean, like on their website, when they were demanding the removal of the nuclear family.
Call them the race communists.
Sure.
Sounds even worse.
You know, I see British conservatives all the time saying, oh, Black Lives Matter, I think they're so much like, oh, it's a bad game there. Just start with BLM. BLM, make sure you can make them out to be the organization that they are because that reflects reality. Anyway, what's this? This is the website. All right, yeah, great. Can you get this up? So this is the Q&A on the Sox website. I'm not Ghanaian. Is it cultural appropriation if I wear these? You must be American then! ! Open bracket. Seriously, nobody else asked this. The short answer is no. Most of our customers aren't Ghanaian. I mean, surprise, surprise. We want to sell to foreigners. I absolutely love it. It's based Africans every time. Anyway, let's go for the next one.
So everybody is excited about summer and going tanning and just bragging about it. Like, okay, we get it. The sun doesn't completely hate your guts, but those of us with no melanin don't appreciate you just bragging about it. So I'll be over underneath my umbrella applying SPF 400.
This is Anglophobia. You're posting sun pictures. Some of us can't take a firework, which...
We don't even get the sun here. It's just like occasionally when the clouds part and it stops raining, we get a glimpse of the sun every now and then.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I don't like tanning.
Yes, Oiled. I will admit, it was a bit of a low blow. But you have to understand what you did to me. It hurt. Which means I only was forced to give as good as I got. I do really want you to understand this. If you truly intend to make this a war, I want you to understand the moment you're crushed before me. You started this. Also, on another note, I just want to do another shameless shill. Why three videos? Because why not? I just want to say that half an hour after today's podcast, we're going to have another round of Sultans of Chardelet. Come to our YouTube channel under the same name for a little bit of memes and talks and shitposts and a little bit of a show before we go to the gold chat. I think that's today, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. I love that we're starting the drama here. Like, we're getting the fights between Oil Guy and Tia Horsepark. Although he is right to mention, and John's reminding me to mention the call. Because Carl's not here, so he won't be attending because he's still on holiday. He's back on Monday, so he'll be back after the weekend. We're going to be doing the Gold Tier live Zoom call, in which we just hang out and have fun. So if you're in the Gold Tier, come and join us, because it's always good fun.
4 p.m. GMT, yeah.
Yeah. I look BST. Forward to more of this. It's like S talking between each other. Like you know how boxers, before they box, go to like a press conference and talk S about each other? It's essentially what we're looking at here through the video comments. Fight. Stir the pot. More fight. Fight. Yeah. Whoever's the biggest is the strongest. We'll use orc logic.
G'day, guys. I'm really glad that you liked my post from last night. I'm actually looking to get back into astrophotography. I did take this photo of the Orion Nebula.
That's
from
awesome.
My hometown in Wollongong, Australia. And yeah, I'd be really excited to get back into it just as soon as I've finished recording these audiobooks. But yeah, if you want to find out more about astrophotography, I'm happy to do a couple of videos on that. Hit me up. cscooper.com.au/contact, and we can talk about it. See you around.
I missed that. I'm gonna have to watch that back afterwards and get your contact details, because I didn't get the whole thing there.
You can get a cscooper
at cscooper
au.com, I think.
au.com.
I don't know.
australia.com.
I think that might be wrong. No, we can watch it back, yeah.
But yeah, like I'm a proper noob at the thing. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I want to just get like some basic advice of how to take pretty pictures of the sky when it's dark. So if you could help with that, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. Do you want to read the comments?
Absolutely. Amara Ward, hate stickers. White.
The women who put them up, probably white.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yenols J. Mullock, women won't be silenced is a hate crime in Scotland now, huh? Wonder how long it'll take for them to silence Nicola Sturgeon. After all, the Scottish police obviously knows which is the better sex for correct opinions.
Yeah. It's also the irony there of saying women won't be silenced. Yeah, well, we'll try. Put you in jail.
Long talks on Nietzsche. They'll have a discussion on if women have vaginas and claim they have leading conversation on culture, but they have discussed if traps are gay. They can't claim to be asking the tough questions until they do. I didn't know they were actually talking about stuff like that.
Do you know the traps are gay thing? Remember, I think it was like VidCon. Was it VidCon or like one of the gaming conventions? And someone was asked, are traps gay? And there was a big like S show about like, oh, no, this is a transphobic question. Like, yeah, but are traps gay though?
It needs answers.
It does need answers.
Benjamin Charles. Women won't be silent. As any man who has been married will tell you, it's... This is not an earth-shattering revelation.
It is to the Scottish police.
Jenna, Talia, genuine question. If someone were to put up a poster saying Islam is right about women, would it be considered Islamophobic or sexist? Why not
Scottish
both?
Scottish police. God, I think that might make the Scottish police heads explode.
I was just about to say that.
Because I've seen that there was a great interview at the time when this all blew up, the Islam right about women posters, in which there was some woman being interviewed and she said, I don't know, it's Islamophobic or it's sexist. Either way, it's terrible. And it's like, you literally don't know. And yet it's still terrible. And then they interviewed some woman in a cob that just had like her eyes showing. And she went, yeah, I don't care. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. They can say what they want. Like, based Muslim.
I really want to shake the hand of whoever came up with that slogan, Islam is right about women, because yeah. It's just brilliant.
What are they going to do?
Martin Willems, greetings from Flanders. There is a furious debate about freedom of speech going on in our halls of government. You should check out the story of the Belgian soldier Jurgen Konings. Sorry if I've butchered that. Also, because of you British, we the Flemish are now forced to live under socialist French rule. Sorry. The French Socialist Party, we pay for it. Tell me which Brits championed the formation of Belgium the most and where they are buried. I'll dig them up and bury them in France. Keep up the good work.
Based. I mean, to be honest, who championed it? I mean, it's a weird construction. I'm going to get so much hate from the Flemish anyway already. I'm just going to let sleeping dogs lie. Let's see where it goes.
Kekistani freedom fighter. Islamists can boast about the Islamic future of Europe, but Europeans cannot oppose or even notice Islamization. Thanks, progressives. Mm. Absolutely. Jacob S. Hi, guys. You keep on mentioning that Poland is based, not to crap on the former home country, but are you aware that Poland still has blasphemy laws on the books? Unfortunately, people get into legal trouble for a great sin of offending the Catholic faith. Other than that, love the zeros.
Yeah, it's the thing of what are you missing, though? So in the UK, we have absolute nonsense of like blasphemy laws for SJWism, and Poland doesn't. So that's what's based about it. Of course, I don't agree with the blasphemy laws in Poland. Although half of me wants to jokingly just slam the table and go based at this point. Because it's just, right, if they're going to have them, we're going to have them, you know? But no, not based.
At least it's just Catholicism. I mean, I can avoid that. It's not as bad.
No, like some people got in trouble. I think it was like for putting up statues of Mary and being offensive about them. But it's, yeah, it's not based. There are some cringe things about the East, but there are a lot of based things about the East. And I want to take those based things.
So, George Happ, how many normies do you think Facebook leaks would reach and how many would even care? The leaker was on Tucker, so the more conservative population may just trust big tech, but I would say they were already pretty explicit with banning of Trump, but there wasn't that much of a backlash.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a video that I was meant to do. I did another interview with Ryan talking about how do we reform social media, because it's easy to just say, oh, aren't they terrible? And yeah, they are, obviously. But it's one of the difficult things would be laying out to them, right, here's a plan for a structure of how you guys could operate that would be, actually useful. And then, of course, they're going to reject it, but it's the point of laying out the goodness in front of them, and then they're still rejecting it, being like, can you believe this, you know? And we had this discussion, and then Trump got banned, and it just kind of destroyed the whole video, where I was like, yeah, what's the point in even recommending anything? Like, if they're willing to just ban the president because of a thing he didn't say.
There's not really anything you can do, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're mentioning things in America. This is obviously a global thing. He mentioned 66 different languages. So this is going to affect people beyond America. And sure, maybe the cause is lost in America itself. But if enough people outside of America oppose it, if the entire world was just like, yeah, we don't want this, then Facebook would have to change.
Like the conservative movement in the UK tepid as it can be at times, still doesn't really know this, which is kind of pathetic at this point with the amount of evidence. But so it's still useful. Still useful him coming out.
Absolutely,
I'm just glad that the American conservatives are based and red-pilled on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Alcibia D's... What?
Are you sure,
and
sir?
It's also D's Nuts.
Yeah, I suck on these nuts.
All right. Right, I don't know why I tried with that name, to be honest. Facebook censoring people? I'm shocked. I say shocked. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not a surprise at this point, but...
But to ban facts. I mean, they banned Trump for the thing he didn't say. They banned British Voldemort for a thing he didn't say. There's that. I've never seen them ban outright facts. Like, I know someone who had a bad reaction to this virus. Sorry, to the vaccine. I mean, there are plenty of people who can say that, who know someone who's had a bad reaction. In fact, it's expected It's part of the process.
They tell you about it, don't they?
Yeah, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 10,000, mm-hmm. 1 million or whatever are going to get this response. I mean, it's part of the system, and yet they're still like, nah, can't even say that.
I mean, even from, like, if you're being relatively charitable, you could say, well, even people who have, say, a pre-existing health condition that actually would need the vaccine because they might have a compromised immune system or something like that, where they might need to know about the side effects because the side effects could compound with their pre-existing condition. Yeah. So it's important to know about it so they can make an informed decision for themselves. If you suppress that, that's obviously really terrible for them.
Yeah. For what as well? For the holy narrative that the vaccine is perfect. Every doctor says it's not. By definition, vaccines aren't perfect.
Sent down from the heavens,
didn't
you know?
Nothing's perfect. It's going to have some percentage that have side effects. The question is if it's worth it or not. And to just throw science under the bus like that, or to any investigation in honesty under the bus like that, I mean, it really tells you who you're dealing with. You know?
Angel Brain, facts that raise safety concerns. Good to see Facebook is adopting the Chernobyl playbook that worked out so well.
Yeah. Graphite isn't on the ground, comrade. I suppose not.
Israel Hayes, did they just say that they would dismiss actual facts involving the vaccines when it comes to negativity? So not even information that might help save people's lives. They don't give a damn. Why would this? Why does this that aspect of it worry me even more? Yeah, it is terrible, isn't it? That's what we were just saying, really.
That's why it's worth covering, because that's absolutely nuts.
Adria de la Fuente, God, I hate how patronizing... is a lot of people on the corona issue. I get it. You fell for the everyone is stupid but you meme, but get off my case. The more you tell me to do one thing, the more I want to work for your destruction.
Not quite sure I'm following that one. But
just telling people what to
Facebook.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to think this. Yeah, but even when it's just, you have to think a thing that is false. I mean, it reminds me of the totalitarian machines where they want you to believe the falsehood and still say it. I mean, it's kind of what the pronouns is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how that girl made fun of it and then still did it anyway? Because they all know it's pointless. They all know basically everyone there doesn't care about that stuff anyway. It's more about, here's a falsehood, you believe it, parrot it, and then you're one of us. Like, you're part of the gang.
One of us.
Yeah, that's right.
It's creepy cult behavior.
Yeah.
Matthew Wilson, I received a 30-day Facebook ban for sharing a Daily Mail article, microchipping vaccine recipients, so you can't even share mainstream reporting they don't like. Yeah, it really doesn't surprise me at this point.
I've just seen in the chat people are trying to find workarounds for saying British Voldemort all the time. And someone's come up with Saxon Yelling, because it's kind of close
Yelling.
To his name. Yeah, his real name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They banned Saxon Yelling. You're not... the Imam of Dibley. My mother is still very ill after her jab in December last year.
That name? It's a good name. I'd watch that show as well. It'd be funny. Like, just a skit where you take the Vicar of Dibley, replace it with an imam, and he comes in and like he's just repressing everyone back. Because you know the whole premise of the show is it's a woman. Oh, mm-hmm. It's a woman vicar, you know, right? And then you have a Muslim imam turn up and regrade the town back to the 7th century.
They'll be drawing water from a well in no time. Sorry, I'll start this again. My mother is still very ill after her first jab in December last year. She now has a burning mouth syndrome as a side effect, which sounds rather unpleasant and hasn't gone away. I'm sorry to hear about that. Yeah. Hopefully it gets better.
Again, you just can't talk about it, can you? It's horrible. I'm just distracted by the chat coming up with even more names for British Voldemort. I love the someone in there suggested... What is that? Make sure I say it right. Ronnie Tomlinson as like a workaround. funny story. I remember people should go and watch. Carl went on Victoria Derbyshire and she tried to get him over the fact that he had tweeted something. And it was a really good interview because she got absolutely destroyed because she made to look out like the snake that she is. And one of the things she brought up, she was like, yeah, but people on Facebook have said things. And he was just like, I don't care. That's not me. Why should I have to answer for other people? And then she read out, Robin Tomlinson has said this. It was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And every time, are you this dense? Like, anyway, sorry.
Student of history, if someone has a reaction, I'll ask about medical issues and then cross-reference with my own doc to say this is cool.
You shouldn't.
Lord Zuckerberg saying bad talk of any form is bad. That will discourage me when the powers... be all move in lockstep that's discouraging because they just can't say this is rational and they must simultaneously force an idea down your throat, block all dissent from the light of day. That's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that essentially what you should do is not type in, you know, what symptoms this guy has or any adverse effects it might have. Could you imagine that if you typed in at your surgery? Let's say there's a computer in which you can look up everything mm-hmm. that interacts with each other and therefore what would mess it up. And then when you type in, he's got these things, what are the side effects? It just says none. Just nothing. Nada. Ever.
They need compulsory brainwashing. That's the treatment.
Yeah, that's what Facebook is.
Omar Awad, I think Josh hit on a very important point that's worth expanding on. If you can silence people online, why not in person? You're essentially saying that the plebs aren't smart or authoritative enough to express their opinions. Under that logic, you might as well get rid of voting entirely, since they can't be trusted to cast their vote in their own interests, since we elite know better. God, I hate these effing arrogant midwits.
Yeah, they would never do it in person. And they know why, because it's evil.
Yeah, it's when it's online, the implications of your actions are hidden to you, aren't they? When if you say, oh, you can't say that to someone in person, they're like, what the hell are you on about? Why are you being so confrontational? Why are you trying to tell me what to think? Then there's actually an ability to read someone's emotional reaction, and I think that's what puts people off. But that's me being psychologist here. Kekistani freedom fighter, the woke big tech corporations turn me into a conservative instead of a libertarian. How can you fight such tyranny from a libertarian perspective? That's exactly what we were saying.
Yeah, at least it's not the government doing it to me. Like, the meme is true. They're just getting oppressed by a company, and you're like, yeah, it's fine because it's a company. It's not really a convincing argument. Anyway, do you mind if I read some?
Yeah, of course.
So I see the chat arguing again as well. Like, Imam Robinson. You know what's funny? I think King of the Islam Race is his best quote. Like, there was a clip of him that went viral because I think someone leaked it from a chat or something, in which he was joking. He says, I'm the king of the whole Islam race. And it was like the Daily Mirror, and they're like, oh my God, he said this. And it was like, yeah, that's really funny. Doesn't make him look bad. Anyway, so Alex Ugel, the saying goes, those who can do, those who can't teach or indoctrinate. I like to add that, and if you can't do either, then at least you can still work in HR. I feel bad for anyone in HR who watches our stuff, but you probably know what you're dealing with in there. You probably agree at this point. So Rowan Alcock, I just like to go on record as saying my pronouns are my business. You use what you want. I don't give a rat's. True. Well, you could just use, you know, what is it, the royal pronouns, or, you know, the right honourable is my pronouns. Core wizard, would decolonizing a classroom just mean throwing any child out who's not Native American? Yeah, I suppose it would. that's the leftist solution.
I've never really thought about it before, but
sorry.
African Americans are colonists in their own way, really.
Oh, well, that's a spicy take. I mean, to the leftist viewpoint, I mean, not false. I mean, they'd have to throw.
Yeah,
you
obviously,
yeah.
Don't believe that. I'm just taking their own beliefs to their own conclusions.
Oh, that tickled me. Thanks for that, wizard. Anyway, Core Diggle. My dad's side of the family are Jewish, as Judaism is matrilineal. Can I no longer keep telling Jewish jokes? And does this mean that Muslim girls at work have to stop going on about how Jewish I am? True, yes. Man, this is hard. I've always considered myself an equal opportunist piss taker. Off to the gulag for me, like most of the Russian-Polish side of my family. Yeah. I love how you're happening in the West as well. So we've gone through this in the East, and they're just like, yeah, let's just do it in the West. Why not? Edward of Woodstock. Leftists don't really think when it comes to cultural appropriation. One event I know has people who hate me when people wear kimonos, because it's appropriation of Japanese culture. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I'd have done it for... Sorry, I had done it to prevent getting too many weebs, but hey. That is one of the problems with culturally appropriating anything Japanese. You get the weeb audience, so... When discussing this, a friend of mine said, oh, after all, did to that culture, we can hardly justify it. See, what do you mean? You fixed them. Like, there are a bunch of fascist dictators, and then you fixed it into a democratic regime. Although anime proves that two nukes wasn't enough. See, I can see the argument for, say, wearing a Native American headdress, sure, but let's be frank, the Japanese have given as good as they got in terms of colonialism. That's... Namking. And I have done more for their own culture than alive. What's more, no one thought to actually ask a Japanese person what they thought about all of it. It's dumb. We can't celebrate our own culture, but emulate other ones. That's true. The conversation about the Japanese and colonization... Yeah, not family friendly. Long talks in the Nietzsche. You can't teach kids because you're busy decolonizing the classroom. The kids just want to walk in the classroom, sit down, and that isn't colonizing, it's attendance. Yeah, but what if they're not Native American? Just teach these kids math, for Christ's sakes, or how to do their taxes. Society will collapse in a decade, and it'll be because of the entire generation will have made artificially retarded without even the skill to be worker drones by the Chinese Manchurian candidates. One of the things I did see, like, there was a meme the other day talking about why don't you get taught about taxes in school, particularly in America, because it's so complicated. And it's like, yeah, because if you were taught about taxes in America at school, you'd come out of high school with, like, an AK being like, I'm being ripped off. I'm just...
Actually, we should advocate for taxes being taught in schools, yeah, because then they'd realize, oh, wait, the government's going to take how much of my money?
Exactly. Like, if the libertarian movement wants to make more libertarians, start teaching about taxes in American high schools. Yeah, you'll just make generation after generation of libertarians. Peter Heigenlegen. Those teachers know damn well that they're racist, otherwise they wouldn't be shoehorning in definitions that exclude themselves. And you know, not one of them was deaf. Yeah, it's also the fact that they're smiling when they talk about racial, you know, oppression and whatnot. You can tell they're liars. Student of history. $20 says the critical race theory wink will dissolve into teaching into We Was Kings, considering critical race theory people already believe it. Yes, and also we have the proof in Reading. Just type in Reading Black Memorial and you'll find the council paying for We Was Kings as an actual meme in real life. Chris Simone. As someone with an actual degree in philosophy, all this racial insanity offends me and therefore must be removed, because causing offense is evil now, right? Yeah, it only ever works one way, though, so we don't get to play that card, do we? This is the problem with the, what is it, like, Anglophobia or the Hinduphobia thing. Remember when we did the segment on Hinduphobia? There's, like, what was it? Some woman had been kicked out for saying that, what was it? This British guy was worse than Hitler, and people took offense to this or some crap in Oxford. And then, like, the Indian media was like, bah, 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 Hinduphobia, Hinduphobia in the UK. They're, like, really in your face about it being Hinduphobia. Like, every five word, it was Hinduphobia. But, yeah, we can't use that because we're the colonizers in our own country. So the last question here, Joseph Booth. Hey, Callum, I've got a science question for you. Oh, it's not going to be water as wet, is it? Here in Western Australia, there's currently a massive thunderstorm happening. I'm watching in the garden, and I've noticed that each clap of thunder / lightning, the solar lights in my garden would start shining brighter than I've ever seen them, fading in and out after a minute or so. What's happening there? I have no idea. Huh. Wait, so, like, the thunder lights up, and then your solar panels are just, like, glowing or something? Or
like, the solar lights, though, I imagine it would be, like, an outdoor light. It's actual light, and then it's powered by maybe a small solar panel above it.
Oh, so presumably the light just, you know, is giving you loads of electricity and then it glows really bright.
I would imagine so, yeah. It's just a huge burst of light.
Well, I hope that's true. I hope we've got the solution and not just some nonsense, but...
I mean, I'm a psychologist, so I can only ask you how you feel about it.
Yeah, to be honest, anyway, I'm not going to get into it, because people have been sending me loads of information on wind turbines since the last episode. Apparently, yeah, they are kind of garbage. Like, the wind turbine, what are they called? The fans? You
know, the parts they require a lot of maintenance, don't they?
Not just that. When you need to get rid of them, they can't be recycled. So there's just massive graves of wind turbines that are just picking up in the landfill. It's like, well, what was the point of that then? Like, that's something that no one ever brings up. And yeah,
I always found that Trump going on about the windmills all the time, like, it was his pet topic of hate. It was always so funny. Like, he'd just bring it up out of the blue. Like, no one's talking about it. And he's just like, those windmills, if you're a fan of birds, don't stand under a windmill.
I love that. It's really like your dad complaining about something, isn't it? Damn windmills. No one's talking about it. Anyway, so we're gonna end here because we've got to head off. We're going to do the Zoom call at, 4 o'clock?
Yep.
So 4 o'clock London time, we'll be doing the gold tier Zoom call. So adjust that to your local time if you're going to join from a foreign land, because I'm not going to fix every goddamn times. So I just want to mention we have the 1984 book club going up at 3 o'clock. So that's in half an hour. So go and check that out, especially if you watched our Brave New World podcast. This is the follow-up to it. And the Posey Parker interview being up on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Also, the more premium content being the Waterloo interview Bo did with Critical Drinker, the movie Waterloo. Have you ever watched Waterloo?
I haven't yet. It's on my list.
Oh, you should. Do you actually have a list?
I do have a list. I keep it on my phone. So whenever someone recommends something, I actually put it on the list. Because everyone always forgets when you recommend something, you know?
Yeah, I don't ever remember.
Exactly.
Like, people say you should watch this. I'm like, I'm going to forget that in 2 minutes.
So but you're going to be grateful for it when you actually want to watch a film and you've got this huge list. And you're like, well, huh. It's good. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Carl made me watch They Live.
That's great. Yeah.
you know, with the glasses.
Yeah, it's a really good film.
Yeah, I think he wants to plan another one of those videos to camera.
Longest fight scene ever. Like, the fight scene in the middle of it goes on for so long.
It's a good fight scene. Anyway, we're going to end there. We will be, well, we'll be with the Gold Tier members on the Zoom call at 4 o'clock London time today.
And you can find that on the homepage, by the way, just if you know where to look on our website.
Yeah, and we will be back on Monday. Carl will be back. And we, if you want more from us, just go to LadyCS.com. There's loads of stuff going up at the weekend, like I said. But thank you for joining. We'll see you guys on Monday. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.